So we've been talking about a rock-solid foundation. And so we've talked about all kind of stuff over the last few weeks. And we're going to, I know at least two more past today, maybe three. It depends on where we get to today. But so we've talked about all kind of things. We talked about your foundation is important. Having your foundation of anything is important. And we talked about how when you do math, right, we talked about math. We talked about math, and in your math, when you learn math, you don't send your child to kindergarten and you teach them calculus, right? Because they don't understand the principles of calculus. They don't understand the principles of addition and subtraction, right? And so what we do is we methodically teach people the basics of math. We teach people how to count, right? This is one podium. If you have another podium, that's two podiums, right? So we teach basic principles because if you have the basics down, then you can build on those basics, right? And so what happens in the body of Christ and is in church history is we can lose the true foundational principles of what we believe as Christians. And so I really felt it, really felt impressed. Actually, at the same time, didn't even know this, didn't even plan it, the youth started the series like almost the same week on foundational principles. And some of the stuff that we've been teaching, yeah, they copied us. I said that because they just said that to each other. We copied them. But it's, I don't know, maybe it could be the Holy Spirit, you know. I don't know, shocking. But the truth of the matter is, if we don't understand foundational principles, then everything we build on can be flawed. It's important what you build your foundation on. And so it's important that we understand, like we talked about basic principles, like God loves you. God is for you. That is a basic principle of our faith. That's the basic principle of our universe, that God loves you and is for you, right? And that God is God. He is creator. There is none like him. God is, he is God. Doing a great, just this great, if you haven't listened to the Bible Project people, please go out and get in touch with the Bible Project. You can go to thebibleproject.com.
Join the Bible Project.
Just Google it, right? Join the Bible Project and hope you don't get some weird other site. But these guys are really good, and their podcast is fantastic. Their podcast, they have videos and all that on YouTube and everything, but their podcasts are fantastic because it's almost like going to seminary. Listening to those Bible, it's really that good. It's really that good. I can't, you know, and then you always, you believe about 80, 90%, you know, we kind of agree with about 80, 90%. Another percent, we just go, okay, whatever. But it's really good basic theology, right? Amen. And so, where was I going there? I have no idea. Oh, just been listening, learning about God and who God is, right? That God, like, stands apart from us. We are created in his image, but he is not like us, right? God is spirit, right? And God is God, right? The Bible says that he lives, he dwells in unapproachable light, right? Like he is on another plane, if you will, than us, right? God is God. He stands outside of time. But that God loves you. Loves you. He's for you. Say, God loves me.
Loves me.
Point of the side, say, God loves me.
Loves me.
Amen. God loves us. And then he gave us, but the crazy thing is he gave us free will, right? Because you can't force somebody into love, right? That's not love if you force somebody to love you, right? So he gave us this thing called free will that we can freely love God, or we can freely reject God. We can freely do that. We freely love God out of our free will. Because God loves us, we can return that love to him out of our own free will. But we can also choose to reject God. And because of that rejection, there's a thing called sin entered into the world, right? This is basic theology, right? This is ground level. This is what you came to that altar way back when they gave the altar call and you came forward and you gave your life to Jesus, right? This is the thing, because Jesus saves sinners, right? So you came down and you received Jesus as your Savior, as your He went instead of you. He took the penalty of sin instead of you. Right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. And in that, we can have a good relationship. We can be right with God, right? As though sin never existed that much. So that's our story. That's yours and my story. That I was once lost, but now I see. It was grace that found me. It was grace that healed my heart. It was grace that gave me purpose. It was grace that transformed a guy that was just so self-centered into a person who loves God and loves others. Only God can do that. I was telling a friend of mine just the other day, they're going through a difficult situation, and it's a friend of theirs that's just kind of just, I don't know, it's just things aren't just clicking. And I was encouraging them, you know, they're showing love to that person and they're doing all that stuff. And I said, listen, don't forget, it's not you that does the work in that other person. It's God who does the work. That's why our prayer life is, oh my gosh, I'm so off. That's why our prayer life is so important. Because when we pray, we give God opportunity to minister and go into the lives of other people. Amen? Amen. It's God who does the work. Remember that. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says this. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That's what Paul said. Paul the Apostle said, of whom I am the worst. Boy, that just goes against, like, I am a sinner. Like, say that to your coworkers. Like, you are a sinner, right? Like, watch that go over like a lead balloon, right? Like I am, like, you are a sinner. In the eyes of God, you're like, no, I'm all right, you know? I haven't done any, you know, mass killings. I haven't done, you know, any kind of terrible stuff. Well, let me just, that sounds harsh, right? It sounds harsh to tell people that you're a sinner, that you're full of sin. Now see how you're processing this right now. No, seriously. That's where our culture's become. That we don't understand our position without Christ. That sounds so harsh, but it's the reality of humanity. Without Christ, we're lost in our sin. You say, I don't know. There's some pretty good people out there doing a lot of really great things, and they are. But listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Well, it's not up here. Let me just read it to you. He says, for unless he's going after this very thing that I'm talking about. Jesus says, for unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard it said to the... And remember, these people were the religious people of the day. And Jesus says, if your righteousness doesn't surpass those guys, you'll never get there. And they're like, well, we're just trying to be like these guys. We thought these guys were it. If anybody knew God, we thought it was these guys. Jesus said, if your righteousness doesn't surpass those guys, you won't get it. He said, you have heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And if anyone murders, he'll be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister is subject to judgment. And again, anyone who says to his brother or sister, Raca, in answer to the court, and there's a lot in there, but I'll just move on. And anyone who says, you fool, you'll be in danger of the fire of hell. And again, it says, therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar and remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave the gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. Settle the matters quickly with your adversaries. Look at the standard that Jesus is laying out for us. Right? He says, do this while you are still... And then it says, truly I tell you, you will not go there... Then it says this, you have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Let that sink for a second. Do not resist an evil person. I don't know if that just told you that we all have areas to grow. If anyone slaps you on the right, then turn to them their other cheek also. Right. That goes over well in modern culture, doesn't it? Give to one who asks of you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. See, what Jesus is doing is he is presenting the case that there's none righteous. You think you got it all together. You think you see all these great people and doing all these great things and all this and that. It goes in and talks about, look, he goes in and talks about all the things that you do publicly. But Jesus says, you're inside, you're like whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Like, we have to re-remember our state before Jesus. We have to understand that if it's not for Christ, if it's not what Jesus did on the cross for us, we are all in this same. We're all guilty of murders because you've thought evil of other people. We're all guilty of adultery. We're all guilty of not loving our neighbors. The greatest commandment. We're all guilty. And in all your good works, you can never change that. Because you stand before God condemned without Christ. The gospel means good news. But I was going to say, this is the gospel. That's not the good part of the news, right? But that's the truth. That's the truth. Without Christ, we all are in our sins. I try to be a good person. How many of you times have you heard that? So where are you at with God? If you're a person who shares the gospel with people, and you're a person who witnesses to people, and you'll know this, right? You'll say this. So where are you at with God? Like, how are you and God? And people say, well, you know, I try to be a good person. You know, I go to church on Sunday. I try to do the best I can. Let me tell you something. They've just labeled themselves as a person that does not understand the gospel. It's not about being that good person. It's about what Christ has done for us. But he didn't just save us from our sins. He did something much, much, much more than that. 2 Corinthians 5, here we go. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard each of you, each one, not from a worldly point of view. Though once regarded Christ in this way, we do no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them. And he committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. That's a whole nother part of this series. We are Christ, maybe it's going to be 3-4 weeks. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, here's the scripture. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become. Everybody say become. Become, become the righteousness of God. Yeah. You have been made. If you're that person who came forward and said, Jesus, I want you to forgive me. I trust in you as my sin bearer. I trust in you as my savior of my sins. I trust in you that you've reconciled me back to God. You not only have something happened to you. Not just you just did a little prayer. Something happened to you. You were made a new creation. You've become the righteousness of God in Christ. Those like sin never existed. You're in a good position with God. A good position with God. You are not an alien or a stranger from God any longer. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You are, like that song says, I am who you say I am. We need to know what God says we are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Like sin never, never, ever existed in your life. The old is past. And behold, all things have been made new. You've been made, become the righteousness of God. This phrase should never come out of a believer's mouth. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Bless God. And you went, wow, that was the holy thing to say. It's the holy wrong thing to say. You are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been made right this morning in Jesus' name. You're not an old sinner. Those days are past. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you still mess up? Do you still come? Yep, I do too. Welcome to the club. But you know, there's a scripture in 1 John 1:9 that says, if you confess your faults, he is faithful and just. No, that's not it. It's 1 John 1:9. That's it. If you confess your faults, he is faithful and just to forgive you. What does that do? It puts you right back in God's standing, in right standing with God, like sin never existed. I call it your maintenance scripture. And not only that, really, the truth is, you never lost your salvation. You were still born again. You're still saved by God's grace. Just because you sinned doesn't mean you lost your salvation. Well, man, I drank way too much last night. I guess I lost myself. Garbage! That's wrong theology. It's not true. God, there's so much, listen, there's so much grace. Paul said to say this. It's crazy. Don't let your freedom just give you an opportunity to sin. Understand there's so much grace out there that God that he says, hey, look, there is responsibility to live this thing out. But there's so much grace available to you. You are in right standing with God. You are in right standing with God. I'll use this example. And y'all, if you've been around, you've heard it before. But if you're going to be staying around, you're going to hear all these stuff again soon because I only have one life to tell, right? So there's this house that I know, and I can go. It may take a little bit of a drive, but I can go. And I can go into this house. I can walk, even if they're not home. I maybe even get in the window. I don't know if I have a key. But I can get into their house, and I know where all the good food is. And I can go into that person's house, open the refrigerator door, and if I want some milk, I got to be careful because she drinks buttermilk, which is, I have definitely poured buttermilk in my cereal. This is terrible. Definitely her fault. But anyway, but I can go in there, I can grab it. They don't even have to be home. I can go in there, I can get it, and if they come home, they're glad to see me. There's also my next door neighbor. That if I walk into their house or break in their window and go to their refrigerator and they walk home, see me eat my little bowl of cereal, I'm probably going to get shot. Because after all, this is Cherokee County. Do you know why? Because the first scenario is my mother-in-law. And I have a good relationship with my mother-in-law. She didn't have to be home. She'd be glad to see me when she walked in. I actually have that relationship. I'm blessed to have that relationship with my mother-in-law. She's a wonderful lady. Some of you are going, oh, I wish I had that relationship. But anyway, just look forward. Just stare straight ahead. But I do. My neighbor, although I may know them, I don't have that kind of relationship with them. It's all standing. I have a good standing with my mother-in-law. You have a good standing with your Heavenly Father through Jesus. You have a good standing. And remember, the first thing that we need to know as believers is who our Heavenly Father is. Who God is. That God loves you. He's for you. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. You have a good relationship with the God who's the healer of the brokenhearted. That you can walk right into his house, open up those cabinets, pull you down a little bit of provision. You can open up the other kind. You can pull a little piece off the shelf. You know why? Because you have good standing in that house. And you know what? God's glad you're there because of who you are in him. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "What more I know, consider everything lost besides the surpassing worth of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may obtain, my gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness that is my own." Hear that. Not a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is based on faith. How do you receive this righteousness? How do you walk in this righteousness? You're going to walk in it by faith. By faith. I believe what God's word says I am. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And you receive it by faith. Everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
You walk in it by faith. By faith. By faith. You say, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I'm right before God. I'm pounded with condemnation. We don't listen to our feelings. We listen to what God's word says we are. Why is it important to come to church? Why is it important to read your word? Well, it's just so I can check it off so I can be a good Christian. No. It's so that you can know what God called you to be. So you can know who you are. What if you believe that? That the God of heaven, the creator of everything, the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? The God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the wonderful counselor. That you have a good position with him. The Savior, the Redeemer, the Teacher, the Deliverer, the Healer. And you knew that you had a good relationship with him. Change everything. Probably your shoulders would kind of throw back. Kind of some arrogance, but I know who I am. This weird fake humility, I'm just humble before God. I get that, but it can be a cop out. Stand in who you are in Christ. Like sin never existed. Well, you don't understand what I did last night. You don't know what I did last night. How about that? I didn't do that, nothing. I was studying for the word, I guess. I was like perfect last night, actually. It was really great. Unless I did something to you that I don't know about. You know how those things go. I mean, there's sins of omission and sins of commission. I mean, you just don't know. You know, I mean, studying for the sermon on Sunday morning, pretty safe. But that's not what makes me righteous. It's who I am in Christ. It's what Christ has done for me. In Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about this. It says, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Right? And it says something. Is that the wrong scripture I have on there? I was doing so good for there for a second. Aren't you glad we're just real people in here? What's that scripture? Okay, hold on. So let's see. Okay, here we go. I'll just read it. I was trying to find it in that scripture, but it's Ephesians chapter 1, 3. It says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with, in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessings in Christ. For he," this is a great scripture, just repeat over and go back and read. "For he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, predestined us for his adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance to his, with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely has given to us, the one he loves, that we have redemption," right? All these scriptures. But in this, he says, you're going to have to pray that that revelation comes in you. Pray that that revelation falls in you. Seek God. Understand what God's will is in your life. It's not that you just be a defeated Christian. You're a child of God. I am made right before Him. And I don't know about you, but that drives me to live holy. That drives me to live in what God would be pleased in my life. Because if you're not confident that God's forgiven you, how in the world are you going to ever, what platform do you have to spring forward in a new life of righteousness and holiness? Grace, we say it like this, there is tons of grace. David, he preaches that grace message. I sure do unashamedly preach a grace message. But I also say your grace is not a permission to stay where you're at. Your grace is a springboard to go where God wants you to go. God didn't call you to grace so you can just stay in your mess, right? He gave you grace so you could springboard off of that grace into a life of holiness, righteousness, and fulfill what God's called you to do. Because I know what God's called me to do. What if we really believed that God, that we had the righteousness of God? Insecurity would be a thing of the past. Are you kidding me? If I know that God is for me, who can be against me? That doesn't come, that's just not the scripture that we just quote because we're feeling bad one day. It's the reality of who I am in Christ. That if God be for me, and He is, who can be against me? Right? Insecurities. Insecurity should be, and we all fight it, right? Let's just say it. We're all growing in our security of who we are in God. But this thing, I'm telling you, it'll change your life. Confidence. Be confident in who you are. Peace. God, you can have peace. You can have peace. You can have peace with God. We can boldly approach the throne of grace. How can you boldly approach the throne of grace if you don't know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? You approach God like this. Woe is me. You know what God wants you to walk? God, I'm a child of you. Here I am, God. God, you've made me this way. You've made me where I'm right with you. I don't have to shame and reverence, absolutely. I don't have to walk in shame because Jesus, you've taken that for me. And I receive your great gift. Anybody ever give somebody a gift and like, don't look around, but you've ever given somebody a gift and like, I never see them people using that gift. Like, I never see them wearing that shirt I gave them. They must not have liked that shirt. But then you ever give somebody a gift, and like you feel like every time you see them, they're using that, whatever, that gift that you gave them. Doesn't it do something in your heart? You're like, oh, man, that's cool. Yeah, that's great. How many of you ever given a gift to your spouse? And you're like, that was the wrong gift to give to my spouse. They could care less. I mean, we got closets full of my gifts to Julie, I'm telling you. But now, you know, it's great to be married for like 20-something years because then you can go, hey, David, look, I bought this for you. Do you like it? Nah, not really. No, I just don't really. I think I'm going to return it tomorrow. But I'm going to take the money and spend it on something else. I promise you that, honey. But like when you give somebody a gift, when you give somebody a gift, you want them to use it. When I give somebody a gift, you're hoping that they'll be able to use it. It'll be a blessing to them in their life. God has given you a gift of righteousness. He says, He says that how much more that by the gift, like the great, oh my gosh, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we will reign in life. God has called us to reign in life, rule in life. Nothing should beat us up. We shouldn't have to worry about things, all this stuff approaching us, because if God be for me, who can be against me? Because I know who I am in Christ. And He's able, He's well able to sustain me. I'm going to reign in life. It's a gift. Receive it by faith. Walk in it by faith. And that means, now that if you understand righteousness, then you understand scriptures like this. All of the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. Because if God has promised it, that's for me. Because I am a child of God. God didn't choose favorites. I mean, except Julie. God didn't choose favorites. Sorry, I shouldn't. Oh my gosh. I'm going to get so busted. I am so busted. Walk in it. Trust it. Enjoy it. And act like it. Act like it. The understanding righteousness will make you a better spouse. It'll make you a better worker at your job. It'll make you a better example of who you'll show forth the glory of God because of who God's made you. I heard this message, and it was so much freedom because I was in that hole. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. It's almost like this. We believe that God barely likes us. He likes us because He has to. You ever dated somebody that you're like, well, he's barely like me? You ever dated? No, I wouldn't ask for a hand raise. But okay, praise God. Melina. So funny. But it's like you just go, yeah, this relationship's not going to last. Like, I totally like them more than I like me. Or, you know, or you like totally don't like them as much as they like you. Or that, whatever that whole thing is. God is for you. And this relationship with you and God, He likes you. He really likes you. He wants to lavish gifts on you. He wants to make you not just a Christian. He wants to turn you into something different. Someone who God can show His power through. Boy, that changes how you pray for somebody. Grab them by the hand. Don't grab them too hard. Grab them by the hand. And all of a sudden, you're aware of who you are in Christ. You know, I know who God's called me to be. Boy, that changes how you pray for other people. It changes how you go to God. It changes your ability to go and be a brother and sister like we've been talking about. Because I can walk straight up to a stranger and say, listen, because I know who I am in God. And even if this person, this stranger, rejects me, I'm not rejected by him. I'm not rejected by God. God's for me. He's in me. He moves in me. In Him, I live and move and have my being. Amen. Let's all stand together. I'm a child of God. What can man do against me? It'll just take out the fear of man. It'll take out the fear of man. Where quite honestly, we all need to get there. It's a new gift. It's a shiny new bike. Or for you older, maybe the guys in here, it's a shiny, big, new truck. It looks tough on the outside. It has all the good, cool gadgets on the inside. And God's given it to you. I don't know what the example is for women. Sure, it's new. I don't know. I didn't want to go there. I'm not even going to try. But whatever that thing is for you, it's a gift that God's given you. And He wants you to walk in it. I sense even by the Spirit of God, there's some people in this room that shame and guilt has caused you to shrink back in your relationship with God. I want you to know, by the Spirit of God, that that's an attack of the enemy to keep you separated from the people of God and separated from who God's called you to be. And God sees your stuff. He sees what you're in. But God's calling you to come. 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 Because, and the word I hear is, God says, I want you to see yourself like I see you, through Jesus. Not through your own righteousness, not through your own attempts at being good, a good person, but through who God's made you to be. Maybe you're in this room and you need to just come to Jesus, maybe even for the first time. You need to make Jesus Lord and receive His forgiveness. Maybe you're in this room and you just need to come back to Him. And you need to just say, the greatest thing is you can just ask God to forgive you. And you say, David, you don't know what I've done. That sounds all great and everything, but even God wouldn't forgive. That's not true. That's not what the Word says. The Word says, I can come to God, ask Him to forgive me, and He will. Really, forgive me. So we're going to pray that this morning. Whether you're coming back to God or whether you're maybe a first time, we're all going to pray it together because we probably all kind of need it. Just say this, Heavenly Father, I look to You. And God, I've gone my own way, and I've done my own thing. I've done some things that have displeased You. And God, I repent. And I truly have sorrow over my sin. But I receive Jesus as my Savior, my Redeemer, and I receive His sacrifice for my sin. And I ask Your forgiveness in Jesus' name. The things behind me are behind me. I press on to the high calling that God's called me to be in. In Jesus' name. One more thing. Say, I receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. And I shall. Say, like you mean it. Say, I shall reign in life. In Jesus' name.